You're listening to Good News Community Radio 93.6 FM. My name is Neo Potuana. As you may be able to hear on this recording since I started speaking, there's a bit of traffic, a bit of birds here and there, and some people speaking in the background. We are at the Peter Maritzburg CBD here for a book launch, and the title of the book is The Church and Disability. Quite a topic we've got to cover, or hasn't been covered before, just telling by the title, and it has been published by Cluster Publications. And I'm speaking to a Professor Moyo, that is from Cluster Publications. And he was talking there, Professor Herbert Moyo, and did mention that he's also a minister, so which calls for a need even more for us to speak to him. Thank you, sir, for allowing us time to chat to you this afternoon.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You are a minister, and one of the things that you did mention here at while you were delivering your speech today is that you've read the book, and as a minister, you say you find yourself questioning your ministry. Why, sir?
So far in the church that I minister to, there is dead silence about issues of disability, and what the book is raising is not being ministered to in my church. And thus I am questioning my ministry. Why am I, or why have I been so blind to this whole lot of population of people?
Yes.
And in Africa it's about 28 million people.
Those are the stats in the book.
Yeah, those are the stats in the book. 28 million people living with disability. And it means to say my church does not have a share of the 28 million people. Hence this question: how have I been doing my ministry without considering these so many people?
Which part of KZN are you ministering to?
In Pietermaritzburg, and I'm a minister in the Lutheran Church.
Yes.
And we don't overtly deal with people with disabilities.
Where are the disabled people or congregants, in your view, in the townships in which you minister? Because I guess you'd have to deal with them because they are here. And they are not here, then you are not dealing with them. Or would you say they are not there, or you're just not dealing with them even though they are there?
If you go back to my presentation, I said, actually, I don't see them in my church. And then that makes it seem as if they are not there, they don't exist. But the reality is that they do exist. The church seemingly is not welcoming to them. Hence, their invisibility in the church. So I think they are there in the communities. In my African setting, maybe they are being hidden away. They are not being made to be public. Maybe families with disabled people hide them away. They don't bring them to church, and so forth and so forth. So they are not there in the church, but I think they are there in the communities.
Let's talk about your church. I mean, is it conducive enough, the environment itself? Will a person on a wheelchair be able to make their way into the church, please?
My congregation is in Sobantu village, and we are not wheelchair friendly. So anyone using a wheelchair, they cannot make it into the church. We may have to lift them up and so forth. But also other facilities, like thinking of blind people, we don't have Braille in the church. Hymn books are just directly written with alphabet. There are no Bibles with Braille. So I think the church, in a sense, is not habitable to disabled people.
Now, we'll chat later on about what you've learned in the book, which you're going to, of course, hopefully apply in your ministry. But you have as well said that you are a minister, and one is thinking that the Bible has always been and has to be the basis for everything in the ministry. It has always been, despite this, there's exclusion in the church. What are we doing wrong, even after reading the Bible now, as just ministers at large?
I think there is a lot of selective reading of the Bible. We read those things that speak to the mainstream social way of living, and we ignore maybe some hidden aspects that don't speak to us directly. Maybe as a black person, disability is seen as maybe a curse. Therefore, even if I become a Christian, that aspect of disability remains being seen as a curse. You are talking about the Bible. I think the Bible speaks with many voices, and we do pick those voices that please us. I alluded in my presentation that
Yes.
There is a lot of retributive theology.
Mm. Where would you explain that for us? Yes.
Retributive theology is that you reap what you sow. If you sin, you'll be cursed. Mm. If you do good, you'll be blessed. And therefore, there are many instances in the Bible where people that are disabled, the blind, the so-called crippled, are seen as having sinned from the Jewish understanding of their relationship with God. And that kind of theology also is found in African traditional religions, where if you are very unlucky to have some bad luck, it is said maybe you have angered the ancestors. That's retributive theology. And that theology is persisting in many ways in us, that those that are disabled, those that are very unlucky, chances are they have sinned to God, so we have nothing to do with them. However, I have pointed first of all to one text that I like, the story of Job, where Job was also viewed as having sinned by his friends. But Job insisted that he had not sinned.
Yes.
But later, really, God speaks from a cloud, and he actually says, my servant Job has not sinned. And the friends are made actually to sort of make sacrifices.
Yes, to apologize.
To apologize to Job and to God. So for me, that kind of a text is throwing out of the window the idea of retributive theology. Not all bad things that happen to us because we have sinned. No. Some happen for reasons that we don't know. And maybe even in the book, there is the story of the man born blind. And Jesus says, no, it's neither his parents or himself who has sinned. He is blind so that we can show the power of God. So there are many other reasons for one being born blind, one being crippled, one being disabled. Yeah.
It's one topic that really calls for discernment, really, for a minister. What would you say is the way one can strike a balance between, you know, serving what they've been called for, which is deliverance and healing, which has been, when done excessively, chases people away who are disabled in the church, because as soon as they come in, everybody wants to lay hands on them. But at the same time, accommodating them, I'm not sure on that part of this page now, whether I would say leaving things as is. So how do we strike the balance, you know, when receiving a person that is disabled without making them feel like every time there's a problem with them when they're coming to fellowship?
I think basically with proper training, ministers will understand that when you pray for people, don't assume you know what they want you to pray for. I think the best is to ask them, what do you want me to pray for?
Yes.
Jesus would also say, what do I do for you? So when I see any able-bodied or disabled person, and if they need prayer, I'll ask them, what do I pray for? I will not assume. So I will only pray for those things that they require from me.
Yes.
Therefore, if you come into my church and you are disabled, surely I will not quickly rush to you and lay hands on you, as he has been said maybe inside there, that people want to pray for you and deliver you. And really, deliverance should not always be seen from a physical perspective. It should also be seen from a spiritual perspective.
Yes.
Therefore, in my view, people should feel free to come to church. And when they're in church, do not assume what they want. Talk to them.
You've learned of experiences in this book, which are that of the groups that were in the church and they felt they shouldn't be there because they were not belonging there because of the experience. What's the one experience that touched you which you can say it's also happening in Peter Maritzburg, the experiences of people that are disabled?
You see, as I said earlier on, that actually in Peter Maritzburg, in the church, the church that I go to, I have not seen disabled people. So there are no such experiences. So I think it is a gray area where we have, maybe they've been there, we don't see them, we are blind to them.
Yes.
But from the book, I think one key experience is feeling sorry for people that are disabled. And that's what they don't want. The book says they don't want that. They want to be treated as equals. They are coming to church to worship God. And as said in the book, ask them what they want you want them to pray for, and they will tell you, maybe I'm studying, pray for my studies. then you are seeing their physical condition. No, that's who they are. I'll accept them. That's their identity.
Now, you did as well, just coming back to you personally, you did confess that you are a supporter and, you know, you advocate for the rights of the vulnerable groups, but you say you've never now personally found the disabled people making it to that list. Why is that?
We always learn as we grow, I think. And in my journey of being an advocate for vulnerable groups, there hardly has been disabled people that come forward that I would feel I want to fight for them.
Yes.
But I think after reading this book, it's a learning curve. It has opened another window. I see they are there. So for me, that's a new window. I will take it from there onwards.
Share with us now the exciting stuff. I mean, sharing the knowledge of the now enlightened Professor Moyo from the book. What can you share with a fellow minister that you've learned from this book?
What I can share with a fellow minister to start with is the reference to this website called Ramp Up. It tells you all the things that disabled people wish could be found in churches.
Yes.
So I think all ministers, in a sense, should go to this website. Just type Ramp Up. It will open that window that tells you what disabled people expect from the church. Then also coming to the book, what I will tell a fellow minister, one is to read the book. When you read the book, you realize that actually disability is not inability.
Yes.
Disability is a condition just like any other condition. And people have, some disabled people, according to the book, have become so used to their condition that they can live with it. They still need maybe, in a sense, spiritual support, maybe emotional support, but not things about how their bodies look like. So I would say to ministers, in a way, accept disabled people as they are, read the special chapter 2, and you realize that their needs are actually exactly as the needs of those who are viewed as abled.
Professor Moyo, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much.